How do you handle the things of life that get you irritated, that rub you wrong, that cause you to be angry when there's a false accusation or something that is unjust or unfair? How do you handle it? Listen in today as we unpack this, and we will learn some answers from Psalm 4. Welcome to the Daily Audio Torah. Today is July 6th. Now let's continue our journey reading through the entire Bible in 1 year. This week we are reading from the New Living Translation for the Old Testament and for the New Testament. Numbers 19:15-22. Any open container in the tent that was not covered with a lid is also defiled. And if someone in an open field touches the corpse of someone who was killed with a sword or who died a natural death, or if someone touches a human bone or a grave, that person will be defiled for 7 days. To remove the defilement, put some of the ashes from the burnt purification offering in a jar and pour fresh water over them. Then someone who is ceremonially clean must take a hyssop branch and dip it into the water. That person must sprinkle the water on the tent, on all the furnishings in the tent, and on the people who were in the tent. Also, on the person who touched a human bone or touched someone who was killed, or who died naturally, or touched a grave. On the 3rd and 7th days, the person who is ceremonially clean must sprinkle the water on those who are defiled. Then, on the 7th day, the people being cleansed must wash their clothes and bathe themselves, and that evening they will be cleansed of their defilement. But those who become defiled and do not purify themselves will be cut off from the community, for they have defiled the sanctuary of the Lord. Since the water of purification has not been sprinkled on them, they remain defiled. This is a permanent law for the people. Those who sprinkle the water of purification must afterward wash their clothes, and anyone who then touches the water used for purification will remain defiled until evening. Anything and anyone that a defiled person touches will be ceremonially unclean until evening. 1 Chronicles 2:18-4:4. Hezron's son Caleb had two wives named Azubah and Jerioth. Azubah's sons were named Jesher, Shobab, and Ardon. After Azubah died, Caleb married Ephrathah, and they had a son named Hur. Hur was the father of Uri. Uri was the father of Bezalel. When Hezron was 60 years old, he married Gilead's sister, the daughter of Maker. They had a son named Segub. Segub was the father of Jair, who ruled 23 towns in the land of Gilead. Later, Geshur and Aram captured the towns of Jair and also took Kenith and its 60 surrounding villages. All these were descendants of Maker, the father of Gilead. Soon after Hezron died in the town of Caleb Ephrathah, his wife Abijah gave birth to a son named Ashur, the father of Tekoa. The sons of Jeremiel, the oldest son of Hezron, were Ram, the oldest, Buna, Oren, Ozem, and Ahijah. Jeremiel had a second wife named Atara. She was the mother of Onam. The sons of Ram, the oldest son of Jeremiel, were Maaz and Jamin and Eker. The sons of Onam were Shammai and the Jada. The sons of Shammai were Nadab and Abishur. The sons of Abishur and his wife Abihail were Ahban and Molid. The sons of Nadab were Seled and Apaim. Seled died without children, but Apaim had a son named Ishi. The son of Ishi was Shishan. Shishan had a descendant named Alai. Shammai's brother Jada had two sons named Jether and Jonathan. Jether died without children, but Jonathan had two sons named Peleth and Zaza. These were all descendants of Jeremiel. Shishan had no sons, though he did have daughters. He also had an Egyptian servant named Jarha. Shishan gave one of his daughters to be the wife of Jarha, and they had a son named Attai. Attai was the father of Nathan. Nathan was the father of Zabad. Zabad was the father of Ephael. Ephael was the father of Obed. Obed was the father of Jehu. Jehu was the father of Azariah. Azariah was the father of Helez. Helez was the father of Elisha. Elisha was the father of Sismay. Sismay was the father of Shallum. Shallum was the father of Jechamiah. Jechamiah was the father of Elishama. The oldest son of Caleb, the brother of Jeremiel, was Misha, the father of Ziph. Caleb's second son was Merishah, the father of Hebron. The sons of Hebron were Korah, Tapua, Rechem, and Shema. Shema was the father of Raham. Raham was the father of Jorkim. Rechem was the father of Shammai. The son of Shammai was Maon. Maon was the father of Beth-zur. Caleb's concubine Ephah gave birth to Haran, Mozah, and Gazez. Haran was the father of Gazez. The sons of Jadah were Regem, Jotham, Geshem, Pelet, Ephah, and Shaph. Another of Caleb's concubines, Makah, gave birth to Sheber and Tirhana. She also gave birth to Shaph, the father of Madmana, and Sheva, the father of Machpina and Gilbeah. Caleb also had a daughter named Aksah. These were all descendants of Caleb. The sons of Hur, the oldest son of Caleb's wife Ephrathah, were Shobal, the father of Kiriath-Jearim, Salma, the father of Bethlehem, and Haraph, the father of Beth-Gedir. The descendants of Shobal, the father of Kiriath-Jearim, were Heroah, half the Mahathites, and the families of Kiriath-Jearim, the Ithrites, Puthites, Shumathites, and Mishraites, from whom came the people of Zorah and Eshtaol. The descendants of Salma were Bethlehem, the Netophathites, Atroth Beth Joab, the other half of the Mahathites, the Zorites, and the families of scribes living at Jabez, the Tirathites, Shimeathites, and Sukathites. All these were Kenites who descended from Hamath, the father of the family of Rechab. These were the sons who were born to David in Hebron. The oldest was Amnon, whose mother was Ahinoam of Jezreel. The second was Keilah, whose mother was Abigail from Carmel. The third was Absalom, whose mother was Maacah, the daughter of Talmal, the king of Geshur. The fourth was Adonijah, whose mother was Haggith. The fifth was Shephatiah, whose mother was Abital. The sixth was Ithream, whose mother was Eglah. These six sons were born to David in Hebron, where he reigned 7.5 years. Then David moved the capital to Jerusalem, where he reigned another 33 years. The sons born to David in Jerusalem included Shimeah, Shobab, Nathan, and Solomon. Bathsheba, the daughter of Amiel, was the mother of these sons. David also had 9 other sons: Ibhar, Elishua, Elpelet, Noga, Nepheg, Japhia, Elishama, Eliada, and Eliphelet. These were the sons of David, not including the sons of his concubines. David also had a daughter named Tamar. The descendants of Solomon were Rehoboam, Abijah, Asa, Jehoshua, Jehoram, Ahaziah, Joash, Amaziah, Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, Manasseh, Ammon, and Josiah. The sons of Josiah were Johanan, the oldest, Jehoiachin, the second, Zedekiah, the third, and Jehoahaz, the fourth. Jehoiachin was succeeded by his son Jehoiachin. He in turn was succeeded by his uncle Zedekiah. The sons of Jehoiachin, who was taken prisoner by the Babylonians, were Shealtiel, Malchiram, Pedaiah, Shenazar, Jechamiah, Hoshama, and Nedabiah. The sons of Pedaiah were Zerubbabel and Shimei. The sons of Zerubbabel were Meshulam and Hananiah. He also had a daughter named Shelumeth. His 5 other sons were Hashubah, Ohel, Beraliah, Berechiah, Hazadiah, and Jushub Hesed. The sons of Hananiah were Pelatiah and Jeshiah. Jeshiah's son was Rephaiah. Rephaiah's son was Arnon. Arnon's son was Obadiah. Obadiah's son was Shechaniah. Shechaniah's descendants were Shemaiah and his sons, Hattush, Igal, Bariah, Neriah, and Shaphat, six in all. The sons of Neriah were Elioenai, Hizkiah, and Azrikim, three in all. The sons of Elioenai were Hodaviah, Elishib, Peliah, Akub, Johanan, Deliah, and Anani, seven in all. Some of the descendants of Judah were Perez, Hezron, Carmi, Hur, and Shobal. Shobal's son Reiah was the father of Jahath. Jahath was the father of Ahumai and Lahad. These were the families of the Zorathites. The descendants of Etam were Jezreel, Ishma, Idbash, Hazelpani, his daughter, Penuel, the father of Gedor, and Ezer, the father of Husha. These were the descendants of Hur, the firstborn of Ephratha, the ancestor of Bethlehem. Acts 24, 1-27. 5 days later, Ananias the high priest arrived with some of the Jewish leaders and the lawyer Tertullus to press charges against Paul. When Paul was called in, Tertullus laid charges against Paul in the following address to the governor. Your Excellency, you have given peace to us Jews and have enacted reforms for us. And for all of this, we are very grateful to you. But lest I bore you, kindly give me your attention for only a moment as I briefly outline our case against this man. For we have found him to be a troublemaker, a man who is constantly inciting the Jews throughout the world to riots and rebellions against the Roman government. He is a ringleader of the sect known as the Nazarenes. Moreover, he was trying to defile the temple when we arrested him. You can find out the truth of our accusations by examining him yourself. Then the other Jews chimed in, declaring that everything Tertullus had said was true. Now it was Paul's turn. The governor motioned for him to rise and speak. Paul said, I know, sir, that you have been a judge of Jewish affairs for many years, and this gives me confidence as I make my defense. You can quickly discover that it was no more than 12 days ago that I arrived in Jerusalem to worship at the temple. I didn't argue with anyone in the temple, nor did I incite a riot in any synagogue or on the streets of the city. These men certainly cannot prove the things they accuse me of doing. But I admit that I follow the way, which they call a sect. I worship the God of our ancestors, and I firmly believe the Jewish law and everything written in the books of prophecy. I have hope in God, just as these men do, that he will raise both the righteous and the ungodly. Because of this, I always try to maintain a clear conscience before God and everyone else. After several years away, I returned to Jerusalem with money to aid my people and to offer sacrifices to God. My accusers saw me in the temple as I was completing a purification ritual. There was no crowd around me and no rioting, but some Jews from the province of Asia were there, and they ought to be here to bring charges if they have anything against me. Ask these men here what wrongdoing the Jewish High Council found in me, except for one thing I said when I shouted, I am on trial before you today, because I believe in the resurrection of the dead. Felix, who was quite familiar with the way, adjourned the hearing and said, wait until Lysias, the garrison commander, arrives. Then I will decide the case. He ordered an officer to keep Paul in custody, but to give him some freedom and allow his friends to visit him and take care of his needs. A few days later, Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish. Sending for Paul, they listened as he told them about faith in Christ Jesus, as he reasoned with them about righteousness and self-control and the judgment to come. Felix was terrified. Go away for now, he replied. When it is more convenient, I'll call for you again. He also hoped that Paul would bribe him, so he sent for him quite often and talked with him. 2 years went by in this way. Then Felix was succeeded by Porcius Festus. And because Felix wanted to gain favor with the Jewish leaders, he left Paul in prison. Psalm 4, 1-8. Answer me when I call, O God, who declares me innocent. Take away my distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. How long will you people ruin my reputation? How long will you make these groundless accusations? How long will you pursue lies? You can be sure of this. The Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord will answer when I call to him. Don't sin by letting anger gain control over you. Think about it overnight and remain silent. Offer proper sacrifices and trust in the Lord. Many people say, "Who will show us better times?" Let the smile of your face shine on us, Lord. You have given me greater joy than those who have abundant harvests of grain and wine. I will lie down in peace and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, will keep me safe. Proverbs 18:16-18. Giving a gift works wonders, but it may bring you before important people. Any story sounds true until someone sets the record straight. Casting lots can end arguments and settle disputes between powerful opponents. I want to speak to you today from our reading from Psalm 4. And there's a particular verse I want to zoom in on, and it's verse 4. Don't sin by letting anger gain control over you. Think about it overnight and remain silent. Offer proper sacrifices and trust in the Lord. There's a lot of wisdom in that verse. In my younger years, I had a hot temper. I had a short fuse, and I could get angry very easily, very quickly, and just lose it. And I've learned over the years to just, when something happens that's frustrating or irritating or just really gets your goat, to just take a deep breath and to step back and to just wait, like what this verse is saying. Don't let anger gain control over you. It's an evil spirit, actually. It's not just an emotion or a feeling. It can be an evil spirit. Wait, think about it overnight, and remain silent. Where we really get tripped up is with our words. We say things in the heat of the moment in anger, and then later on we regret what we said and wish we hadn't have said those things. Please enjoy this beautiful worship song, Psalm 4, When I Call, from the Psalms Project.
Favor again to me. rest because you are faithful. And I can rest because you are good to me. I can rest because you are.